Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for this message from God's Word, the Bible. And today's message will be taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, the very last chapter of Paul's epistle to the church at Corinth. And the verse that I'm going to mainly deal with is verse 5. Now, this is a verse that I rely heavily on, and I've mentioned so many times in our program. But I wanted to bring some things together concerning the subject, the need for self-examination. That's the title of the message. The need for self-examination. And here the Apostle Paul writes in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He exhorts or commands. And understand now, this is a command of God, not just the Apostle Paul, because the Bible is the verbally inspired, inerrant Word of God. And that's how we're to look at it, that's how we're to receive it, that's how we're to respect it. So this is not just Pauline theology, as some of the seminary professors say. They talk about Paul's theology and John's theology. Paul's theology, John's theology, Peter's theology are all the same. This is God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, and there are no contradictions. But in 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul writes, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove, test your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Now that's the verse I'm going to look at. The need for self-examination. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul had been forced to defend himself against false preachers who had questioned not only his message, but also his authority as an apostle. So Paul had to defend himself. So they were examining Paul. So Paul turns it around and he says, "Well, now examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, except you be reprobate." So that's the issue. Now, many of you who have seen this program before or who have followed this program for several weeks, months, or even years know that we are offering some free literature, books that I have written. And I basically have three books that I've written that I call my self-examination series. And these books, as I said, we offer them free of charge. We're not trying to make money, but we're trying to get the Word of God out. These books are tools to guide people in this process of self-examination. The first book that I would mention to you is a book about interpreting the Scripture. It's called Rightly Dividing the Word. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the Bible." And in this book, Rightly Dividing the Word, what I've done is I've examined all the given rules or accepted rules of biblical interpretation. You know, there are rules of interpretation, and I've got 8 rules of interpretation, and I urge you to get that book. Salvation, the Bible is the book of salvation. And I certainly do not imagine that any book that I write can even equal or even or stand alongside of or replace the Word of God. That's not what it's for. The books that I've written are to be tools for your Bible study and to stand alongside the Bible to guide you, like preaching the gospel. Now, we know that this book is by revelation. In fact, that is one of the rules of interpretation, the rule of revelation. It's a closed book unless God opens your eyes. God, the Holy Spirit, has to give life so that we can see and understand and know and believe the Word of God as it is. But the fact that the Bible is understood by divine revelation does not suspend the responsible and reasonable tools of interpretation. And so I urge you to get that book, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Rules for Interpreting the Bible. And that will help you to study the Bible. The second book that I want to mention is a book, actually it was the first one I wrote. It's called What is Salvation? It's a biblical study of God's greatest gift. And when I think about this, examine yourself. Do you claim to be saved? I know I do. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, put it to the test. That's what Paul writes here. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove, test your own selves. And listen, do you really understand what salvation is according to the Bible? Don't rely on the traditions of men. Don't rely on your own understanding. And certainly do not rely on your feelings. Look to the Word of God. And that's what that book is all about. What is salvation? If I claim to be saved, I ought to know what salvation is. So that book is a tool, again, another tool of self-examination to guide you through the Scriptures concerning the issues of salvation. And in that book, What is Salvation? I divided salvation into four realms that the Bible teaches. And I hope you'll get that and understand it. Use it. The third book that I want to mention is one called What is a Christian? And that is a biblical study of the one true faith. I believe that Christianity is the one true faith. And if you claim to be a Christian, as I claim to be a Christian, well, do we really know what a Christian is and what a Christian is not? I've had people say this, you know I'm a Christian because I had this experience or whatever. And again, I tell you, don't rely on your traditions. Don't rely on the opinions of others. Don't rely on your feelings. Look to the Word of God. What does God's Word tell me that a Christian is? And that's what this self-examination is all about. And so what I've done in this book, What is a Christian? Is it's a tool to take you through many scriptures, not all. There's no way that I could go through all the scriptures in one book to show you different passages that define what a Christian is and what a Christian is not. And so that's the process of self-examination. And we offer these books free of charge. All you have to do is call or go on our website. Let us know that you want them. We'll send them to you. I might also add that with each of these books, we have CDs and or DVD sets with them where I preach and teach on these subjects, preach through the books. They accompany the book, but the books go into more detail than what I did on my, on the DVDs and the CDs. But if you are interested, then order those things. And I urge you to do that and examine yourself. But let's go back to this verse of Scripture. Examine yourself. Test yourself. Look at yourself. And he says, whether you be in the faith. Now, that's an important way to put that. And I'm going to come back to it. He says, prove your own selves. Test your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, the Bible says Christ resides in you, in me. How does Christ reside within a person? Number one, he resides within a person by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ who proceeds from Christ. All the work of the Holy Spirit in a sinner to impart spiritual life. That's called the new birth. Raising that sinner from the dead, spiritually speaking. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And so Christ, the Savior, the Lord, resides within His people individually by the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ. Christ be in you. Secondly, Christ resides within His people by His Word, His truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He gives life from Christ. That's the resurrection life of Christ. And He brings sinners by the Word of God through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. What is the righteousness of God? That's the merit of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, which has been imputed, charged, accounted to His people, so that they have a right standing before holy God by His grace and His mercy, so that they can stand before God justified, not guilty, righteous, not in themselves, but in Christ. And what the Holy Spirit does, He applies that truth in giving life, begotten again by the Word of truth, to each and every one of God's chosen people in each successive generation. He writes it on their heart. He convicts them. He gives them a new heart. That's what the Scripture says. So, that's how Christ resides within His people. And He says, know ye not, this is 2 Corinthians 13:5, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now the word reprobate, it means to be disqualified. It means to fail the test. The test that God has in His Word. Now, men and women and religious people, they'll give you all kinds of tests that they've devised. But what you need to know and what I need to know is what God's Word says. Well, let's go back here, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Now listen, I want to show you two things that this verse is not saying. Okay? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. This is not a command for me or you to look within ourselves to find assurance of salvation. You see, we all want to know about evidences of Christianity, evidences of salvation. But those are not what gives a true believer assurance of salvation. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, I believe the Apostle Paul was the human instrument to write Hebrews. Some disagree, but it doesn't matter. It's God's Word. So we'll say the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, after having dealt with the hall of faith, he makes this statement in verse 1 of Hebrews 12. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's talking about believers who have gone on before, who had given their lives. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now that sin that does so easily burden a believer is the sin of unbelief. You see, a believer, a sinner saved by grace, is not in a state of unbelief, but because of the remaining sinful flesh, the corruption of the flesh, there's still unbelief in him. He'll have times of doubt. And he has to fight those. Well, how do you fight those? He says, let us run with patience. Verse 1. That word patience is endurance. The race that is set before us. Now, how do we run the race? How do we endure? We who are saved. Verse 2. looking unto Jesus. Not looking within myself now. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, and the finisher, the completer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What he's telling us there is that assurance of salvation does not come by looking within myself for assurance. And assurance of salvation does not come by looking at my works for assurance. If I gain assurance by looking within myself or by looking at my works, then my friend, that's presumption. That's unbelief. But we have assurance. We who are truly saved have assurance by looking to Jesus Christ as the Lord our righteousness, as the one who died for my sins and satisfied the justice of God. My sins were imputed, charged, accounted to him, and he died for my sins. He established righteousness for me. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. My faith comes from Christ. It didn't come from me. And so that's what Paul means when he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, this doesn't mean examine yourself to see if you have enough faith. I've heard people say that. I heard a preacher preach that one time. Do I have enough faith? Well, my friend, that's not the issue. You know, the scripture, you know, Christ told the disciples one time, he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He said one time, if you had the faith as small as the grain of mustard seed. You see, how much faith you have is not the issue. The issue is this: in whom is your faith? Who is the object of your faith? Who are you looking to? Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." What have I committed unto Christ? Well, I've committed unto him my whole salvation, my whole justification, my whole sanctification, my whole redemption, my whole preservation, my entrance into glory is committed to Christ. It's not committed to me. It's not conditioned on me. It's all conditioned on Christ, and he fulfilled completely, perfectly, all the requirements, all of the conditions of salvation, of my salvation. Christ is the end, the finishing, perfection, fulfilling, completion of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The faith here is a noun, and it's talking about the gospel, the doctrine of Christ. In other words, if I believe I'm saved, is it really gospel salvation, or is it a false gospel? You know, many people today, they talk about, well, we're living in the last days. Well, we've been living in the last days since Christ came the first time, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, rose the third day. That's the completion of his work, righteousness established. He made an end of sin. He finished the transgression, Daniel said. And he ascended unto glory. And then a few days later, the New Testament, New Covenant Church was inaugurated at Pentecost, and we've been living in the last days ever since. But there's no doubt, as time wears on, we are headed towards that time when Christ will come again the second time. I believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, because the Bible teaches that. Now, as we get closer to the second coming of Christ, the end of all things, the end of the last days, Satan has been loosed to deceive the world. And Satan's main weapon of deception, let me tell you, Satan's main weapon of deception is false religion, especially false Christianity. Satan is sowing his tares throughout the world. As the Lord Jesus Christ is saving his people, bringing them to him, his true church, raising up his preachers, going out and preaching the true gospel, Satan has been loosed to deceive the world by preaching a false gospel. And he's a clever devil. He's a deceiver. He would love to deceive me and you into thinking we're saved when we're really not. Into thinking that we're Christians when we really aren't. Into thinking we believe the Bible when we really don't. So the Apostle Paul writes, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. What is the faith? Well, over in the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul begins that epistle by talking about how he has been raised up to preach the gospel. He suffered for the gospel. He was an evangelist. He told the good news of the gospel. And over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, listen to what he says. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This gospel, the faith, what faith are you? What do you believe? It's not how much faith do you have. Whatever faith I have, it's the gift of God. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from my goodness. It didn't come from my so-called free will, which is a myth. It didn't come from my decision. In other words, God grants faith to His people, and then they willingly come to Christ because they see by the power of the Spirit who Christ is and what He accomplished. So it's the gospel of Christ, Messiah. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God in human flesh. Matthew 1:21, you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Christ is God in human flesh, Matthew 1:23. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. The Word was made flesh. That's who He is. Now, if you're in the faith, truly in the faith, you believe Christ to be God-man. God in human flesh. Every bit God and every attribute of divine nature and character. Every bit human and every attribute and characteristic of humanity without sin. That's the only difference, you see. Christ was every bit as human as we are, except for one thing. He had no sin. He's God-man. And in His humanity, He suffered the weaknesses of the flesh. That's human nature. Sinless infirmities. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, when He got hungry, He was just like me. When I get hungry, I want to eat. But Christ, in order to fulfill His hunger, He had absolutely no thought of sinning against His Father to relieve that, like I would or you would. So He's God in human flesh. And then, secondly, it says here in Romans 1:16, it's the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, that's the body of doctrine, the preaching of the gospel, to faith. That's the gift of faith given to God's people to receive Christ. And he says, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. The gospel, the faith, is the revelation, not of the righteousness of men and women, not of the goodness, but the righteousness of God. Now, what is the righteousness of God? Well, we know God is holy. He must be just when He saves. He must be righteous when He forgives. He must be truthful when He has mercy. God cannot save me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. I have no righteousness. And I cannot work a righteousness. And I'm spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. You see, that's the natural man, as we're naturally born. I need a righteousness I cannot produce. I need a righteousness I cannot work. And if I'm going to be saved, if I'm going to be justified means to be not guilty. It means to be righteous before God. If I'm going to be saved, I need a righteousness, not of man, but of God. Where am I going to find that? In the Lord Jesus Christ. by his obedience unto death. His blood is his righteousness. His death was the satisfaction to God's justice. And having been born spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, in order to be saved, I need spiritual life. Well, I can't give myself spiritual life. You can't give yourself spiritual life. Where am I going to find that? I find that from Christ, who is my life. He died. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. In other words, because Christ in his death satisfied the justice of God, because Christ brought forth righteousness, which demands life, he was raised from the dead. And what the Holy Spirit does in the new birth is he imparts the resurrection life of Christ in God's people. You see, the righteousness of God is the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to be in the faith, as Paul writes over here, is to believe in Christ, rest in him, submit to him as the Lord my righteousness. He is my righteousness. I have no other. Am I looking elsewhere? Think about this. Think about those false preachers in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, who claim to be Christian. And here they are standing before the judge of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is their ground of acceptance before God? Well, they said, haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Only to hear him say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Do you want that to happen to you? I certainly don't want it to happen to me. You see, people will look at passages like that and they say, well, those fellows weren't sincere. First of all, you don't know that. And that passage is not about sincerity. That passage is about the narrow way of salvation through Christ and his blood and righteousness by the grace and power of God, or salvation by works. What do you plead for salvation? Do you plead your works, or do you plead the righteousness of Christ? Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.